Thanks for listening to We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by your friends at Watson Consoles, designing American-made and intentionally engineered dispatch consoles since 1986. To show our appreciation to our angels of the airwaves, we're offering the dispatch community a free gift. Visit watsonconsoles.com/badge to claim yours. That's watsonconsoles.com/badge.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch. And we have a guest back again. My gosh, he was just here not too long ago, but with a little bit of technical problems. But he's back again with better internet this time. So we're going to start it up again, talking about our favorite topic, teamwork. And joining us today is John. Hello, John. How goes it with you?
Very well, very well. Good deal.
Wonderful. And you got your retired shirt on now, so that's good.
Hell yeah.
And Leslie, how goes it down in the Florida area down there? So
it is awesome. It is a beautiful spring day here. And
spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. A lot of pollen, all that good stuff too. So
I hope everybody's ready for tomorrow's eclipse. It's coming. So everybody's talking about how it's going to affect your pets and your animals. So I'm a little bit nervous. So, you know, that could impact
Y2K all over again.
Yeah, that's exactly that's exactly it. And joining us back again is our pal Arthur. Arthur, how are you today?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me back. We were joking a little bit ago about starting this by me going, so we could just kind of take off from where we left off. But I put a mesh system in my house. And so, we should be connected and good to go this time.
Excellent. Awesome. So today's topic is teamwork. And last time we started talking to you, you mentioned that you founded teams. You've got some information about that kind of stuff. So let's start talking about that. Why don't you give us your spiel on teamwork?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. A lot of folks get put into a management or a leadership position because they might think that that's the next step. Like that's the next thing in my career is to become a leader. And I think that often what's missed is that that's a whole different kind of skill set, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of times folks will get promoted into that position because they were really good as an individual contributor, really good at what they did. So, hey, we're going to make you now the supervisor. And in making you the supervisor, you're going to make everybody great individual contributors.
Wow.
And what tends to happen is if the skill set isn't built for them, for that person to be able to really be an effective leader or effective manager, what ends up happening is you get micromanagers because they have to control everything, right? Or you get what I like to call like the super manager or the in the world of dispatch, it would be the super dispatcher, right? Like, like I got to do everything. And they can't delegate because they haven't developed that skill yet.
Right.
So, in developing good teams or high performing teams, it really starts with the leader developing those skills within themselves.
Mm. What about the people that get promoted with no training? I mean, we have that in our business. I mean, it's like one day a dispatcher, next day, hey, you're in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, if you don't know what to do, you're kind of in a position like that. I mean, I don't know how much training, Leslie, you had prior to promoting. Did you have training with that? No.
And very, very little. It was one of those things where, you've been here the longest. So
Yeah. And that was exactly with me too. It was basically, you're a good dispatcher. You're probably a good supervisor. And it's like, that's a totally different job. Yep. And we can't do that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it was one of those kind of things. And John, how about you? When you promoted, did you have training to become a supervisor or somebody?
No, not officially, but there were some county classes that were offered to those who were in the county. It wasn't dispatch specific.
Yeah.
But I did take some of those with some colleagues before and after. Mm-hmm.
So, I have a question for Arthur. So you led with this with leadership skill set, and that's a completely different skill set. And we've all kind of just mentioned we didn't have any training, so to speak. So when you're talking about leadership skill sets, what are some of those skills? And then, you just finished with, so that new leader needs to develop these things within themselves. So what's that process look like? Because I know there's a lot of people out there that are still not getting any training, so to speak, on how to be a supervisor, manager, director, whatever. But I think the leadership skill set is different from how to fill out a schedule or how to, you know, do that. So interested to learn a little bit more about that leadership skill set you're talking about.
Sure. So I think what you're talking about there is there are the hard skills in being a manager, the daily tasks, like those, that list of tasks that need to be accomplished, setting the schedule, making sure everybody takes their breaks, making sure that we're compliant with this and HR and all of that stuff. And then there's the soft skills, right? There's those skills that you just kind of feel are there when you're working for a manager or a leader that I don't know how to quantify what that feeling is, but you just kind of feel like, hey, this, I'm in the right place. This is the right leader. This is the right manager. I feel good when I'm going to work. And so a ton of research has been done on what is that thing? What is that intangible thing? And a professor out of Harvard named Amy Edmondson did a ton of research to figure out what that thing is. Sure. And so she did her whole dissertation on her whole doctoral dissertation was on what makes high performing teams different, right? And so what they did was she looked at teams in medical, teams in sports, teams in all these different areas, and she found these teams that are extremely effective at what they do. And her hypothesis was the most effective teams would have the fewest amount of errors, right? So they would make less mistakes. They're highly effective. And when she got her data back, she discovered that wasn't true, that the most effective teams were making the most mistakes. And so she's like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. She put a lot of thought into it. And what she discovered is that they weren't making more mistakes. They were sharing more mistakes. In other words, they were acknowledging that there were more mistakes being made, or they were comfortable in talking about the mistakes. They were comfortable in talking about how we can get better. And so she termed this phrase psychological safety. And so what that intangible thing that we feel from leaders that we feel good going to work with, it's, they've created an environment of psychological safety. They've created an environment where it's okay to let me know that something's going wrong, because together we can figure out a better way to do that. Or together we can fix that problem. Yeah. And there isn't that fear of you know, being fired or of being called to the carpet, yeah, of discipline or whatever. So yeah, so through Amy's work, what we've learned is high performing teams or teams that continually grow and continually improve feel safe in that environment to be able to kind of speak the truth, right? Share those things that aren't going well without the fear of repercussion or discipline.
They can actually say the emperor has no clothes and yes, mean it, because it's, right. I think that's very insightful from that Amy person here. I think that's so important that people feel free to say, hey, this is not working, or hey, I made a mistake or whatever. Because if you don't, you're going to keep going and things are going to get worse and worse and worse. So that's awesome. Yeah. What's Amy's last name again?
Edmondson.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got it. So I can look at it.
Well, usually in dispatch, people will speak up no matter what. So,
well, yeah,
whether safety is in play, but I have found even those who do not speak up or speak up within their peer group, somebody there will have the courage, so to speak, to speak up and represent, but knowing that, hey, this, I'm speaking for a lot of people.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
I found that dispatchers usually don't bite their tongues.
Right. Yeah. But there's often the silent majority as well, that sure, they don't really speak out much because they're waiting to see, okay, what's going to happen if I talk or if I offer suggestions. And I guess, you know, going back to trying to define what those leadership skill sets are, then it's being open, creating an environment where communication is candid and constructive, as well as I think there's also a responsibility for a leader to also, and I, you know, train sounds like it's very militant, but to also encourage people and teach people how to communicate effectively. Because, you know, to John's point, dispatchers are easy to, we'll interrupt and we'll throw stuff up against the wall and we'll say what we're thinking. And sometimes that's not the best process in an environment that you're talking about.
So Leslie, getting back to some of those skills, some of those things you got to look within to say, okay, I'm a manager. What do I need to develop in order to be effective in this role? And I have a series of six books that, that I actually have my teams read with me over the time of, over the time frame of a year. And that first book that we all read together is a book by Jocko Willink called Extreme Ownership, right? Awesome book, right? And as you know, in that book, it's about communication as well, but it's about taking ownership of that communication between a leader and between the person that is working on that team. And if they're not doing the things, if they're not hearing the things that, that you're asking of them, the first person to look at is yourself to say, am I effectively communicating this? Like, let me take ownership of that. And you, then you also talked about having an open mind, a mind of like continuous improvement and continuous growth. There's another book by Carol Dweck called Mindset. And in this book, she talks about a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, in which like a fixed mindset is someone that's, oh, I suck at math. I'm never going to get this. I'm just not that kind of person. Where an open mindset is more like, I'm not good at math yet, but I know if I put some time in, I can get better. Where some people will say, hey, that guy's a natural born leader. Well, no, leadership is a learned skill. Although you're struggling in leadership now, you can study and you can find role models and you can get your reps in and you can become a better leader. And so that's what mindset's all about. The third book that we read is Grit by Angela Duckworth. And that's all about finding your passion and how to persevere. Mm-hmm. The fourth book that we read together is Atomic Habits by James Clear. Another great book. That's one that just teaches us how to get a little bit better every day. That you got these big, hairy goals, these big places you want to go. Let's just get a 1% better every day until we get there. The next book. So notice that those first four books are really all about me as a leader. Mm-hmm. They're really about how to become better with me. Yeah. Once I'm better, once I've got these skills, then I can start focusing on us. I can start focusing on we. Mm-hmm. And that's the fourth book, which is, the fifth book, which is Culture Code by Dan Coyle. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, Amy Edmondson was doing all of her research on this, Dan Coyle was trying to figure out what makes teams tick. He wrote a book called The Culture Code. Mm-hmm. And he looked at everybody from SEAL teams to Google. He even interviewed a jewel heist team.
Oh my God. Wow.
So pretty interesting book. And then
hopefully they gave some tips.
And then the final book in that series that I share with my folks is The Go-Giver. That's usually around Christmas time. And The Go-Giver is by Bob Burgess and John David Mann. And that book just talks about how to connect, really, how to go into a situation with the mindset that says, instead of trying to get something out of this, instead of trying to get this employee to do this, I'm going to give this employee the opportunity to whatever that is. So there's a guy named Michael Jr. He's a comedian. Check out his TED Talk, in which he talks about, as a comedian, his life changed when his mindset flipped from, I'm trying to get laughs out of people to, I'm trying to give people the opportunity to laugh.
Oh, wow.
That changed his career, took off. Right. And now he goes to jails and he does his comedy show in jail. He always does like these benefit shows. He goes to houses for abused children. Wow. And he share, because it's not about trying to get anything from anybody now. It's trying to give them an opportunity.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. How do you, like, you say you give your team these 6 books they should read within a year. How do you, like, bring that all together with these people? Do you go over it with them? Do you talk to them about it? What do you do with this?
Yeah. Yeah. So usually what we do is I introduce the first book and I say, okay, on Friday, you know, let's have chapter 1 through 3 done and let's just talk about it. So in a team meeting on Friday, we spend 15, 20 minutes talking about what they got out of it. What ends up happening is about 2 or 3 months down the road, the text channel that I have with my team tends to start getting filled up with, hey, did you guys hear this quote or this thing or whatever? And so, so they really start to get into it. And if they apply it to their lives, then it changes, not just at work, but it's with their wives and husbands and with
this is very similar to what Leslie did at your agency.
We
used to do the book reviews and things like that, and it was, you know, the 7 habits, we did culture code, we did, you know, a lot of those things, and it was from the cadets all the way up to the chief of police, and we would go to briefings or roll call, talk about, you know, whatever had happened the night before, and then go into the book review. And it really was enlightening because you've got people who are now sitting at the table with maybe command staff members that they don't normally communicate with, but being valued no matter where you are in the organization. Sure. And I put in our chat here that we're talking about through this process, you know, that building trust has got to be a huge process, and through maybe reading these books or having those conversations. And then maybe as that leader who's already in that position, setting the stage, like Jocko talks about in Extreme Ownership, you know, being the first to say, hey, I messed up this, I didn't do this right. So you're starting to allow people the opportunity to go, oh, okay, I'm not going to get disciplined, or I'm not going to get ridiculed if I make a mistake, because, you know, the last meeting we had, the big guy said, you know, they stepped out of line. So that's awesome.
It is pretty cool.
In the 7 habits, Dr. Covey, when he developed those, notice that the first 3 habits are about me. They're about what I got to get right. And then the second 6 habits are all about we, right? Seek first to understand before being understood, develop a win-win and synergy. Synergy, right. About we, but the first 3 being proactive and starting with the end of my, those are all about things that I need to get right.
Yeah. So, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So question, because, you know, we talk, and especially I think because leadership tends to be, you know, that's trending right now, you know, everybody's talking about leadership, but I know there's also some people who may be listening to that go, I have no interest. I don't want to be a leader. I don't ever want to promote. And I know there's a whole concept about the courageous follower as well, where that, and when you look at a team, everybody has a role on the team. So how do you identify those people who are perfectly content to say, I'm glad I'm on the team, but it's okay if I sit on the bench for a couple quarters?
Yeah. Yeah. By building that, this is, in again, just in my experience with those folks, there's really a couple different people. There's the people that start to show you that they've got those leadership skills, right? Mm-hmm. And so you kind of earmark them. And I've got another book for those folks.
For the next podcast.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
For the followers.
So there's the ones that kind of show you, hey, I'm interested in being a coach. I'm interested in being a leader. There's ones that tell you they want to be a leader. And you're like, are you sure you want to be a leader?
Maybe not.
So I have a different conversation with them, because some folks think it's the next step. And it's not every great NBA player becomes an NBA coach. It's a different skill set. And then there's those folks that like you said, hey, I am an individual contributor. That's where I love being. I get tremendous amount of value out of that. Perfectly happy staying here. By creating that safe space, Leslie, by having these conversations and talking about individual contributors and talking about wanting to be a leader and talking about what being a leader really is, and creating that safe space, they tell you. Arthur, I'm so happy being an individual contributor. I don't want to lead. So
right.
You just help me develop and become better at this. Mm-hmm. You know? And then we can put a plan together.
It's those ones that say, I want to be a leader today, that you're like, hold on, maybe you should wait a while.
You need to invest some time.
We've all worked for people like that, that are, you're like, oh my God, they're just, all they know is I'm going to be in charge, for God's sakes. And it's like, that's nothing to me. So,
yeah. And my conversation with them usually goes, okay, so tonight you're going to bed worrying about the things that you worry about. When you're a leader, you go to bed worrying about the things that your whole team is worried about. Are you really ready for that? Is that something that you're ready to embrace?
Wow. That in and of itself is a powerful statement, because it exposes you to the totality of leadership is not task driven. It is people driven.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. And a lot of times people forget that. And it's unfortunate that people do, but we've all worked for people that don't have any concept of being a leader. And I know I listened to Brene Brown, if you know who she is, and she's talking about like leadership. It used to be about muscle. Now it's about smarts or something like that. And the last one is about heart. That new leadership is going to be about heart. It's about being that person that knows how to handle people and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think those are pretty great things about becoming that teamwork and that leadership kind of thing out there. So it's real important out there. So Arthur, we are so happy to have you here. Did I just freeze up?
You did.
Yes, you did.
Look at me right there.
You're back.
There
you go.
I'm nervous. I just switched over to AT&T.
You need a mesh.
No, I didn't. Yes. Not even sure what that is, but I just said yes to that. Anyway, so Arthur, we're very happy to have had you back again. My God, you're so full of information. It's great. And we'll probably have to have you back again to talk about something else. I don't know. We'll figure out something.
I think we should all read these books and just have Arthur be our monthly book.
There you go. There you go. We'll get on Slack.
We can join him on Fridays. We can join him on Fridays.
Awesome.
Well, it should be Tuesdays, isn't it? Tuesday with Maury. So they're kind of going to just saying, going back to that. Anyway, so yeah, we definitely appreciate you coming back again. It's been a great conversation. I'm sure a lot of people are going to get a lot of stuff out of this. And I'm going to put all those books and references you had at the end of this broadcast. So if you're watching this episode, you can get them yourself and say, hey, I can go get these books and talk about them and kind of start that ball a rolling of conversations out there. And I'll tell you what, I talked to Joe the other day, and I think our stats have now moved up to 35,000 podcast plays.
Wow.
Just over 35,000 podcast plays in over almost 55 countries. So we're really doing some good work out there. We've got some great stuff coming up. So Arthur, we are again very thankful for you coming onto our program this time. And I forgot to mention, where do you work, Arthur?
Hey, I am the national sales manager for the console side of Watson Furniture Group.
What?
Yeah.
Our sponsor, Watson. We're so happy to have a sponsor like you guys. It's so great to talk to you guys, have somebody like who wants to come on and do a great, good episode like this. So we definitely appreciate that. So, hey, thanks, John. Thanks, Leslie. Thanks, Arthur. You guys go out and make it a great day, because you know we all will. So, good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by your friends at Watson Consoles. Designing American-made and intentionally engineered dispatch consoles since 1986. To show our appreciation to our angels of the airwaves, we're offering the Dispatch community a free gift. Visit watsonconsoles.com/badge to claim yours. That's watsonconsoles.com/badge.